Welcome to Female Empowered, a podcast for female fitness and wellness professionals and business owners looking for real talk about the ins and outs of the industry. I'm Krista Gurka, an accidental entrepreneur turned founder and CEO of a multi-million dollar health and wellness business. In this podcast, I'll be sharing expert insights and having real conversations about what it means to show up, thrive, and of course, get paid. We'll talk about what works, what doesn't, and what really happens behind the scenes of a client-based business, all so you can take away sound advice and actionable steps that help you become a more successful and confident business owner, all on your own terms. So let's dive in. This episode of Female Empowered Podcast is brought to you by our Beyond the Movement Inner Circle, my high-touch mastermind for female boutique fitness, wellness, and healthcare entrepreneurs. The Inner Circle helps women who have already reached six figures in their business and are ready to grow to $250,000 in revenue and beyond by creating a team and stepping back from the day-to-day grind of running their business without sacrificing their salary. And that is really the most important part. So I'm going to say that again. These women are ready to grow to multiple six figures and beyond by growing a team that allows them as business owners to step back from the day-to-day operations without sacrificing their salary. Inner Circle members run Pilates studios, concierge healthcare practices like cash-based physical therapy clinics, yoga studios, and gym owners and more. And all of them know one thing: the growth of their business is directly dependent on growing the right team that will step up so they as business owners can step back from the day-to-day operations. In order to really have the freedom you once wanted when you created your business, you have to create the structure. And the struggle really is finding the right people, getting them in the right seats, doing the right jobs so that you feel safe and secure enough as the owner to step back. A lot of our clients come to us saying, I know I need to start delegating. I know I need to step back to get myself off the schedule, but I am petrified to even think about that. It seems like such a huge hurdle to overcome. You don't even know really where to start. Does this sound like something you've been going through? Other clients come to us having the right team in place and the right systems, but they're having a really, really hard time letting go of control and really delegating because of their own inner limiting beliefs. So, inside the Inner Circle, we really help all of our business owners with three simple things. Number one, structure. We help women create the right structure in their business so that they can have the freedom that they want outside of their business. Number two, systems. These are creating the right processes that are going to drive your business, optimize the outcomes, and improve automation so that you can really step back from the day-to-day operations of the business. And number three, strategy. What is the right strategy that is going to increase your profit while maintaining a business that is sustainable for the long run? The current investment of Inner Circle is $900 a month for 12 months. And yes, it does require an application. In order to get on the wait list, go ahead and visit www.kristagurka.com/mentorship so you can get to the front of the line when we reopen enrollment. All right. We let our wait list members get first dibs and the 2 to 3 spots that we open each quarter. I really hope you join. If you have any questions, you can feel free to DM me over on Instagram. And now let's get into today's show. Here, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Female Empowered Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Gurka, and it's just the end of December. At the time of this recording, you all are listening to it in January. So I hope your new year is off to a great start. I am absolutely freezing, even though that I'm in Miami. I'm recording this when the crazy, just after the holidays. So it's the crazy cold run that came through here in my house. Does not really have heat, and so I'm so cold. But anyways, enough about being cold. I'm going to chat with you today about some very simple strategies that I have found that female entrepreneurs use to get more time in our businesses and then ultimately in our lives. So one of the biggest things that I hear from people is, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I have no time. I have no time. I have no time. So one of the things that I really believe is time is created. Okay. Time is created. We create time for what we prioritize. All right. And now there is a saying, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And that is true. Like, there's nowhere that anyone has 25 hours and there's nowhere that anyone has 20 hours. Okay. Now, are those 24 hours created equal? Not always. So I was raised as a single mom. So my mom's 24 hours were not the same as my 24 hours, where I have a partner, a husband that helps. My kids are older. I have 2 children versus 6 children. So yes, I understand that not everyone's 24 hours are created equal. That being said, I also do believe that we create time for what we prioritize. And so it's important to set up these simple strategies so that we can create time for what we deem is very important, right? That will help us get off of that feeling of like you're running your business and then hence your life on a hamster wheel that never, ever, 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 ever stops. All right. So that is really what makes us feel burnt out, when we are running on this hamster wheel and doing things that are not systematized, that are not automated, that are, maybe we're doing things that are awful for us, that we would never voluntarily or even do if a previous boss asked us to do it previously, right? Like, if we were in a regular job where we were getting paid by someone else and they had us doing, you know, social media or doing cold calls, like maybe we would, if that's something we hate and we don't like and we're not good at, we would never do it. We would never, you know, update their website or manage their website or create social media posts or graphics. If that wasn't in our skill set, we would say no. So these are the things that we have to, you know, recognize as running a business, that we're maybe spending time, valuable time, on things that we really shouldn't be spending time on. And so today I'm going to work with all of you. I'm going to talk to you about time management and how crucial they are, especially for small business owners, especially for female business owners. Okay. And so one of the things we're going to do is learn how to track our time. Okay. And how to improve our time management skills. And so what I'm going to talk about actually first are the pitfalls that we actually want to try to avoid. So these are like time suckers. They drain us. They drain our energy. They drain our focus. They drain our productivity and our efficiency. All right. And so we're going to talk about the pitfalls first, and then we're going to go get into some strategies, at least that I implore and that have really, really helped me be better with my time over the last, I would say, you know, 4 or 5 years. So the first pitfall that I see a lot is not having a to-do list. Okay. Now, it could be a paper and pencil. It could be digital. Like, I use project management tool called Asana. I also do have a paper and pencil, sometimes to-do list. And sometimes I recommend to some people to have a to-don't list. So we all have these things that we have to do, but what about the things that we should not be doing? You know, it's the same thing in when you're treating a patient or teaching a class. And just because an exercise exists doesn't mean someone should be doing it. Okay. I just had someone in my class the other day that was telling me, you know, they were doing a rollover onto their neck and they weren't going fully over. And I was trying to help them. And then halfway through, they're like, oh, I can't roll up on my neck because I have some herniated disc. And I was like, well, then you shouldn't be even half rolling up on your neck. And they're like, well, it feels okay up until this point, but then I shouldn't go further. And then, so I was like, you know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, right? There's a lot of people that can, you know, do certain activities. That doesn't mean they should be doing activities, right? Now you can walk without a walker after certain after certain surgeries, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to be walking without a walker, right? So just because you can do something in your business doesn't mean you should be doing it. Now, if you don't know what needs to get done, then how can you effectively prioritize your workload? If you don't know really what needs to be done and what's the most important thing and what's the very next thing that needs to get done, how do you prioritize your workload? And this is where you get distracted. I mean, literally, I spent 2 hours this morning doing something that didn't need to be done, but it was distracting me and helping me procrastinate from recording this podcast episode, which actually did need to get done. All right. So without a to-do list or some sort of something that can keep you on track, it becomes really hard to prioritize your workload. All right. Pitfall number two, and this is a big one, is multitasking. Multitasking is a myth. Contrary to popular belief, multitasking is actually less productive than focusing on one task at a time and then moving to the next. And I used to be the big multitasking superhero. I can multitask like no other. And then I finally realized that no, multitasking is usually just procrastination. Okay. If you think about it in this way, like if you're driving a car, right, and you have to speed up to 70 miles an hour, and then you have to slam on your brakes because you're in traffic. Then you have to speed up again and slam on your brakes and speed up again and slam on your brakes versus just going at a steady pace for a certain period of time and then doing something else. It's more wear and tear on your car, right? Which becomes, if we're multitasking, usually more wear and tear on our brain. And then we actually don't get as much stuff done. Okay. We tend to be less efficient. Okay. Our brains are not equipped to perform two tasks requiring high level brain functions at the same time. Task switching. It's really difficult for me, for example, to task switch between the admin side and running the business and then the clinical side and treating patients and clients. It's really difficult for me to task switch between those two things. So I have my treating days, my patient days, and then I have my admin running the business days. Okay. So pitfall number three, not knowing how much time a task actually requires. Can you actually record a podcast in 20 minutes or does it take you 45 minutes to an hour? When teachers are first starting out teaching classes, it probably takes them prep time and then teaching the class and stuff like that. Right now, I can walk into a class and teach it without prepping, but you have to work your way up to that. So how do you know, really knowing how much time a task takes you, which takes a little practice, is also important, all right? Because if you don't know how long it's going to take, you can't effectively manage your time. Same way with like meetings or things like that, right? If you don't know how long something's going to take, you can't effectively manage your time or prioritize your activities. So let's review those three pitfalls again. So three pitfalls that I see a lot in when people get are trying to improve their time management and get more bang for their buck, so to speak, is not having a to-do list or not having some sort of project management tool. I love Asana. You can use Monday. You can use ClickUp. There's a lot of things. You can use paper and pencil. You can use a Google Calendar. Okay. But having something that can keep you on track is really important so that you can prioritize. Number two, pitfall, multitasking. Multitasking is a myth. And number three, really not knowing how much time it takes you to perform a certain task. Okay. Now we're going to review three strategies that I use and that I have been taught by other successful business owners, right? And I utilize these principles not only in my business, but also in my life. And I'm going to throw in one extra bonus tip at the end. So really, you're going to get four strategies, which is really great. Okay. Strategy number one, start your day early. And I'm going to just go on the record and say by early, I don't mean like 5 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't even get up at that time, but I do get up between 6:30 and 7, and I have time in the morning so that I get my best work done between like 7 and 9 in the morning. So also, if you want to exercise, you want to start your day early. Lots of really well-known successful entrepreneurs start early. They go exercise or play tennis or get out in the morning. I know for me, I like to get up, do a little bit of work, go have a walk that re-energizes me. I take a walk with my dog, come back, do a little more work, take a break, and then I do some more exercises because again, it flushes my brain. But I'm like super type A, very square and rigid. And so I like to have a schedule. I'm like, okay, I'm going to focus on this task. Then I'm going to do this one. Then I'm going to do this one. And then I'm going to do this one. All right. So that helping me getting up a little bit earlier helps me do that. And I used to get up at 7. And when I started getting up at 6:30, even just a half an hour, it really helped me. And I got a lot done. And I take my sleep very, very seriously. So I am in bed by 9 o'clock, 9:30 every night. All right. So I get a solid 8 to 9 hours of sleep every single night. It's one of my non-negotiables. Okay. So I get a solid amount of sleep. It's very, very, very important to me. It helps me stay more focused. Okay. Number two, focus on one task at a time. All right. We talked about this as multitasking is a pitfall. It's common. It's very popular to believe that multitasking is the most efficient use of our time, but it really is a waste of time. And usually it's like jack of all trades, master of none. When you're focusing on too many things, you're not doing any one thing good. Okay. And so another thing, this is also like when you have 6 million offers in your business and you're focusing on promoting all of them, well, you can't promote and give all your time and energy to all of them at the same time. So it doesn't work. Right. And so we simply cannot focus on more than one thing. So what I'd like to do is organize not only my professional day, my business day, but my personal day, my personal tasks based on how urgent and important they are. And then I take care of the most urgent ones first, followed by the ones that are not as urgent. Okay. So this is also comes with like that pitfall by not having a to-do list, right? By prioritizing your workload, you can focus your time and energy where they matter most. So there's lots of planners. Like I like to use a full focus planner. There's also a table that's called the Eisenhower Matrix. You can look it up, Eisenhower Matrix. And I think I'm going to share a download with you. You can go to my website and download it for free, where you try to figure out which are your most important tasks for the day. All right. So the way that the Eisenhower Matrix works, I know that for some of you that can see me, because I have a YouTube channel, right? So there's video of this. Basically, it's a big square, like it's a rubric. So it's a big square. So the top, and then you cut it into four quadrants. Okay. The top left quadrant is called important and urgent. So these are tasks that are the most important and are really urgent to do. Okay. These are due today. So usually I start my day with looking at all the things I have to do. And I'm like, which are the three top priorities I absolutely need to get done today? And this is how like the full focus planner is made out too. Then the top right quadrant is important, but maybe not urgent. Okay. Ongoing projects like hiring, booking a dentist appointment, exercising, taking your kid to the dentist appointment, reaching out to your child's teacher, sending someone a home exercise program, That could be the top right quadrant. All right. Now you go to the bottom left quadrant, and these are not important, but urgent. So these are things that you can delegate if you can. Unimportant meetings, all right? Unnecessary, low priority email. So you can delegate them. They're not important to you, but they need to get done, all right? And then the lower right is not important and not urgent. These are like, you know, I have to grab a gift for somebody's birthday, okay? Reading Facebook, streaming, or what do you call it? I can't call it. Scrolling through Instagram, right? TV time, sorting out junk mail, cleaning off your desk, cleaning out your inbox, right? All of that stuff. So the way that I do is I have a task list in Asana, like my tasks. And then I look at it each and every morning when I wake up, first thing I do when I sit at my computer, and I then prioritize them into 1, 2, 3, the top three. If I get those three done, then I look at what are the next things that have to be done. 1, 2, 3. Okay. I learn to delegate certain tasks to people if they don't need me. And I also do things where I defer them, where I say, like, this doesn't really need to be done anymore. I'm going to defer it into what I call a parking lot. Okay. So focusing, and then I just focus on one task at a time. So for example, one of the days on my calendar, like the first and third Monday of every month, I record podcasts and I batch a bunch of them. So I record 2 to 3 each time. And I just shut off all of my notifications. And for about 2 hours, I sit, I write the outline. I research if I have to research, and then I record the podcast. I've gotten this down to a science of how long it takes me to do the research and create the outline. And then how long it takes me to record it, upload it. And then I just stick it into, my project management tool, and I don't do anything else with it. Somebody else edits it. So we have a whole system in place for that. All right. So again, prioritizing and focusing on one thing at a time allows me to be more efficient and productive. So like I said, I shut off my Slack messages. I turn off my phone. I close myself in a room so I don't get distracted, and I record podcasts as I'm doing now. All right. So number three in strategies is applying the 80-20 rule. So the 80-20 rule is also known as the Pareto principle. And it actually, I just read this study somewhere. I just read this the other day, or maybe I heard it on a podcast, but it actually came, the Pareto principle started with a long time ago, somebody in Italy that was actually named Pareto. And what he found was that 80% of the land in Italy was owned by 20% of the population. So he created the Pareto principle. And initially it was meant to say that 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your clientele, or 80% of the revenue you generate comes from 20% of your product, or something like that. And then they've really expanded it to say that 80% of the results that you get are going to come from 20% of your actions. Okay. So in other words, 80% of accounts, right? 80% of revenue is going to come from 20% of your clients. Most successful people understand this and know that the top priority are going to drive the most important results, and they delegate the rest. Another way that I like to use this 80-20 principle is if it's 80% done, it's done enough. Okay. The 80-20 rule, like, is it 80% perfect? Because perfect doesn't exist, right? So if it's 80% completed, be done and move on. The other thing is you're going to focus on the 20% of tasks that drive 80% of the results. So what are those tasks for you as a business owner? They are creating the content or driving the vision of the business. For me, it's you know, the growth strategy of Pilates in the Grove. It's creating the podcast. Only I can create the content for the podcast, but do I need to be the one to edit it? No. Do I need to be the one that pulls the audiograms? No. Do I need to be the one that like uploads it and publishes it to all those sites? No. So those are the things that you should start looking in your business to delegate the rest of it. You work on 20% of the tasks that are going to drive 80% of the results in your business and delegate the rest. Do you need to be the one answering the phone in your business? I'm going to say no. Do you need to be the one that needs to be on the sales calls? Maybe initially, but then you should train someone to do it. Okay. Because these are all the things that keep you tied to the business. And these are all the things that we create as business owners that are like, well, I can never take a vacation. I'm the only one that can do sales calls. Well, I call bullshit on that. Okay. You're the only one that can do sales calls is because you set it up that way. I'm sure if you train someone else to do them and then hold them accountable for that, you don't have to do the sales calls anymore. That's a task someone can learn to do. Do you have to be the one that's managing your website? Again, I'm going to say no. Do you need to be the one that answers all the client inquiries? Maybe initially, but in the long run, no. All right. CEOs of companies do not answer customer inquiries. They are driving the growth of the business. So did I start answering inquiries? Yes. Did I start answering the phones? Yes. Did I clean the bathroom? Yes. Did I do my own books and payroll? Yes. As my business grew, did I start realizing that my time was better spent doing other things? 100%. So now, like I said, I focus on 20% of the tasks that are going to drive 80% of the results. Now, the extra little tidbit that I'm going to share with you today, so really it's the fourth strategy, is learn to say no and learn to say it more often. And I'm going to kind of tie this back in. So when you have a calendar, when you have priorities written out, when you have your goal set and your calendar plan for the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months. And for those of you that are watching me on YouTube or watching the video, you can see that behind me, I have my, well, it's not my full year on a wall, but it's my quarter on a wall. And I already have my whole quarter planned out. I know when I'm going on vacation. I know when I'm launching something. And I know like January over here, I feel like a meteorologist, like, ooh, I can't see where my hand is going. Okay. So there's no more room in January for me to do anything else. So when people are like, oh, can you do this in January? It's easy for me to say no. I'm like, nope. Because if I look in this and try to squeeze something else in, I'm going to be sacrificing my time with myself, my time with my children, my time that I need so that I'm not a raving lunatic. So I'm going to say no. Okay. So again, being able to plan it out and see it if you're a visual person or look on a calendar or look where you have room, you know, to add something makes it easier to say no if you can see it laid out in front of you. And it's okay to say no. No is a complete sentence, like all these cliches about no. All right. And you can say no without feeling guilty. Because remember, saying yes to something means saying no to something means saying yes to something else. Or you could say it the other way. Saying yes to something means saying no to something else. Okay. So if you're saying yes to something you don't really want to do, you're saying no to your time and your energy. And by the way, your time, you can never get back. All right. And so if we don't have the energy to do the things in our business that we really love and will really drive the business forward, we're never going to move the needle. Because we're too bogged down doing things, one, we don't want to do, two, we're probably not good at, and three, we just don't have the courage to say no to because we feel badly. So I'm going to encourage you in 2023, like my word or phrase, a lot of people do these words or phrases. My word or a phrase for 2023 is less. Do less. So every time I'm like, oh, I think this is going to be a good idea, I'm going to put it through this question that's like, will it move the needle, right? Do I really want to do it? And I'm going to think, is this going to get me closer to my goal of doing less or not? And if it's no, then I'm going to say no to it, which is hard for me. Okay. But so let's go ahead and focus. Let's revisit those four strategies. Okay. One, start your day early. And I don't mean 5 o'clock in the morning. If you can do that, kudos to you. I can't, but maybe 6:30, maybe 7. Okay. Start your day early. Or if you're a night owl, maybe you can start your day by 9, but you know that you're productive at late in the evening. I am not. Like after 3 o'clock, my brain is mush. Okay. Two, focus on one task at a time. Decide what are your top three priorities that need to get done that day. You can use that Eisenhower matrix that you can look it up. I'm going to link to a download that you can go to the website and download, but use that. Try it every week. What are my weekly priorities? And then what are my daily priorities? Okay. And apply the 80-20 rule. Focus on 20% of the tasks that are going to drive 80% of the revenue or productivity in your business. And then number four, I love this one. Say no. Learn how to say no more and learn how to say no, period. End of sentence. All right. So I hope you really, really enjoyed that episode. And if you're interested in learning more about the Inner Circle, we had this episode is sponsored by the Beyond the Movement Inner Circle. Registration is currently open for applications. Okay. It is an application is required for the Inner Circle because the requirements are 1, you're a female business owner in boutique, fitness, wellness, or healthcare, Pilates studios, yoga studios. You're growing a team. Okay. You're growing a team of 3 or more individuals. They don't have to be full-time. Okay. And you want as a business owner to step back from the day-to-day operations while growing your revenue to multiple 6 figures and growing your profit to 6 figures and beyond. Okay. So if you're interested in learning how to create more time in your business, more structure in your business, the right strategy to create a sustainable business, then I invite you to apply. You can visit my website, www.kristagurka.com/mentorship, complete an application. I do believe we have maybe 1 spot left. I don't know at the time of this recording, it may change by the time this is aired, but if you're interested, www.kristagurka.com/mentorship, feel free to DM me over on Instagram, but let's start saying no to more in 2023. And start saying yes to yourself and your business. All right. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Until next time, my friends, bye for now. Hey there. Thanks so much for listening today. But before you go, could I ask you to take a minute? Okay, so maybe like 2 minutes and leave me an honest review about the podcast. It really does help me get this podcast in front of more women in healthcare, wellness, and fitness, and also really lets me know that I'm actually sharing information you all like to listen to. Thanks again, and catch you all on the next episode.